The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
Off the ball.
GAA.
So if you look inward here, what you can do. So once you're the best version, if you've won and if you've kind of continued to win over that period of time, what have you done to get yourself to that area?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
A very good evening to you. You're welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Jamesy O'Connor from 7:30 to talk all things hurling. James Skelton was on the hurling pod this week saying that back in the day you had Jamesy O'Connor running down the wing. Now you've got Garrod Hegarty. Guys have got bigger, men have got stronger. So we'll get Jamesy O'Connor's comeback to that sick burn from James Cahill earlier in the week. We'll have Steve Bunce with us then from 8 o'clock to talk all things boxing. There's a bit of a promotion war going on with Dana White getting in on the act with regards to the future of combat sports. Certainly he's been a big part when it comes to MMA previously, and now he's sinking his teeth into boxing. From 8:30, we'll have an interview with Patrick Harding, who is the performance coach for Williams and Alex Albon. So this was an interview that's been done by Eve Conway. He came into studio earlier this week and it's absolutely brilliant. So we're going to be playing that out from 8:30. And then from 9 to 10, the football show featuring Dion Fanning here in studio for the hour. 087-9180-180 is our WhatsApp number. Cameron Hill is on Newsround duty. Hello, Cameron.
Hey, folks.
And Dion is in early for the Newsround. Dion, how are you keeping?
Good, Owen. How are you?
Very well. So how much does this boxing circus act niche thing interest you guys? So the one of the reasons why we want to talk to Steve Bunce tonight, it's not only about the war for the future of boxing, it's about Floyd Mayweather getting back into the ring against Manny Pacquiao in a fight that everybody will accept is completely ridiculous, but a fight that'll no doubt be one of the most watched sporting events of this year. Is this the sort of thing that we're going to hop on the bandwagon of?
Well, it does tell you something about where boxing has headed, and that this is the only way they can really capture people's imaginations. That it's some of the big fights managed to do it, but like this is the stuff that somehow there's a sweet spot there of either, you know, okay, Mayweather's slightly different, but, you know, if there's a freakish element to it, that's good. If there's something slight, you know, but it's a name, and it's almost like, you know, because it's boxing, it's different, but it's almost like, you know, a Legends football match or something like that. Let's get the Legends, let's throw the Legends out there and let's watch them play during the international break. But in fact, it's boxing.
Yes.
And it's different.
It is quite different. And also as well, you can do this. You can have like Legends fights. They're called exhibitions. And an actual sanctioned fight between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather is a little bit different, because Mayweather's coming back to do an exhibition fight. It's happening next month in the Democratic Republic of Congo against Mike Tyson. So I'm not sure what sort of eyeballs will be on it. Now, this is important for the legacy and the name of Floyd Mayweather, because of course his name is Floyd Money Mayweather, and it would appear that the money situation for Floyd Mayweather is not in a great place at the moment. Okay. So it's very, very important to maintain his middle name, that he goes out and actually makes loads of cash over the next few months. And for anybody who gets the time on this, we may follow this up with a piece closer to one of these fights. But Business Insider did an explosive investigation recently, and it suggested that Mayweather's vast wealth may have been completely overstated down through the years.
No.
So it noted debt, foreclosures, leveraged assets like property and a private jet. So this was published back in December, and they alleged that Mayweather took out millions in new mortgages last year. Two commercial properties were foreclosed, and most importantly, his Las Vegas strip club faced tax delinquency. So it's all kind of falling to pieces on that front. Then there were reports of creditors chasing Mayweather over unpaid jet fuel and a disputed $1.2 million Maybach vehicle. And then he had to sell his Gulfstream plane as well as major homes. He settled more than $28 million in IRS back taxes. And then there's lawsuits alleging unpaid luxury debts, although This has been denied by his lawyer and all his people. So Floyd Mayweather is how we're now referring to him. The artist formerly known as Floyd Money Mayweather.
But there's never enough money that you can't lose at all. That's what, you know, people, you know, this is the lesson that, you know, those of us who don't have that kind of money, you know, we can be content that, you know, I like to think that, well, if I had that kind of money, I would have blown it anyway. And I'd have other problems.
Come on. Everyone's had the jet few people knocking on their door once in a while.
Oh, Jesus, the jet few people.
They're there again.
Yeah.
The way I sort of, you know, come to terms with my lack of richness right now is that at least I never got rich as a young person. Because it'll happen one day. And look, at least the money wasn't wasted on me as a 21-year-old, because I definitely would have blown it. But when it inevitably happens, one day in the future, I'll be a much more mature individual.
Okay, that's good.
And I'll be able to handle it. So keep on dreaming.
That's good. Keep on dreaming.
Owen Money Sheehan.
Yeah.
I think it is funny. It is interesting, though. I think there's also this element of, you know, we are all like huge nostalgists these days. So like if you can put together anything that sort of speaks of some sort of golden age, people are into it. You know, so whether it's Oasis or Mayweather or whoever it is, it's like, yeah, let's give us some of that, because we don't feel that whatever we're getting today is as good as what was available to people in the past. And also that those people who remember that do have, you know, they've reached that stage where they've got the money to spend on these fights. They've got the money to go and watch these fights. They've got to, you know, so they're in a sweet spot of the hankering after their youth and also now being able to, you know, be ringside.
Surely boxing is the perfect exercise or endeavor to scratch that nostalgic itch. I mean, watching Tyson against Jake Paul a couple of years ago, you're like, God, do you remember when he could actually do this? Yeah, and he wasn't looking totally shattered in the ring.
Yeah, it's not going to be like Oasis where people are like, God, Liam can really still, you know, he can really still sing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be like that. It's like, you know,
that was quite sad.
Yeah.
The body does tend to betray you, although Mayweather-Pacquiao 1 was one of the worst fights ever, so I'm not sure there's even the string of nostalgia with which they can pluck. We're watching Stuttgart 0, Celtic 1 at the moment, 4-2 to Stuttgart on aggregate 67 minutes on the clock. You are kicking things off on the news round tonight with football as well, Cameron.
Yeah, big news in the Premier League this evening, Owen. Brentford head coach Keith Andrews has signed a bumper new contract until the summer of 2032. The former Republic of Ireland international stepped up from his role as Thomas Frank's assistant coach when the Dane left for Tottenham last summer. That went well. The Bees currently sit seventh in the Premier League, and director of football Phil Giles says Andrews has done an outstanding job so far. Speaking to in-house media, Andrews has outlined what he wants his team to stand for.
I just want to keep pushing us. I want to keep pushing every aspect of our game. I want us to be a team that just entertains our fans, that gives us a team that we can sit back and look at and feel immense pride in watching how they all go about their business on a daily basis. And basically what the fans see is obviously Saturday at 3 o'clock, and that's the last bit of the jigsaw, because all week we work towards that game. That's pretty much what it's about. So, in terms of the style of play, I just want us to be relentless. I said that pretty much from the start, and I think we've grown that, we've built that. I want us to be a horrible team to play against. In the main, we are. But I want us to be a team that enjoys playing our football, enjoys being a team and not individuals, and I think we certainly have achieved that.
When you were watching Brentford in-house media last summer with Keith Andrews talking about his word of the week, little would you have thought that within the space of about 6 months, you'd have him back on that same in-house channel, lording it over a new six-year contract, essentially.
When I walked in here today, and I'd heard that he'd got a new contract, but I didn't know the details of it. And then the minute I heard it was a six-year contract, I thought, that is the most Keith on-brand thing that Keith Andrews could have done, because there's just something sort of so assertive about it in a very Keith Andrews way. Like, I am here now, I'm taking over, I've got my, you know, another 6 years. It's not some, you know, fiddly kind of 2 year extension with an option for a third year. It's a big statement, and it kind of, you know, it's kind of how he's taken the Premier League by storm. He's taken us all by surprise, those of us who thought this was not going to work out well. And I just think this is like, there's something magnificent about a 6 year contract for Keith Andrews that wouldn't be there, like, if he just got the kind of the run-of-the-mill 2-3 year deal.
I think, are these contracts the easiest negotiations to have? Like, it makes sense for the club to slap a big new contract down in front of them. It makes sense for the manager, obviously, to sign up to better terms and greater security. But like, the expectation for Brentford would be that this guy's going to get poached by an even bigger club sometime soon. So a bigger payout will be incoming, or a bigger fee will be incoming from that club.
It's some endorsement of Keith Andrews, though. I mean, Brentford famously know what they're doing. That's what everybody says about that club and Brighton constantly. So the fact that they've decided that 6 years is probably the right option, yeah, it's good news for him.
What is the... What's the get into the crystal ball there. What's the medium-term conclusion to the Keith Andrews story?
That's a good question. I think he needs to. I think he'll need to do another, you know, another season at Brentford will be kind of essential to it. I would say also that contract is probably, if they, you know, I think there would be certain clauses in terms of how if things did go wrong, which nobody, let's be honest, can see them going wrong from here. But if they did, they wouldn't be paying up, you know, 6 years of his contract. But I think definitely another season at Brentford obviously needs to go. It needs to go. The other thing about Brentford now is, and the Thomas Frank thing will be interesting in terms of what happens to Andrews, because people will be beginning to wonder: is this, you know, is there, like, it, you know, as you say, this is a Brentford. This is something to do with how Brentford operate. Not to take away anything from Keith Andrews, but this is something to do with how Brentford operate rather than, you know, just the manager themselves. And you have to be cautious about taking any manager out of that environment. And I think the combination of what happened to Frank when he went to Tottenham, and also the fact that Andrews wasn't expected, nobody really saw this coming, it may be that people are giving Brentford more credit for this than Andrews gets. So I would say that at least next season it needs to be sustained, and then, you know, you could see where he goes.
It's amazing how quickly we get lulled into the idea that a manager is untouchable. Like, it feels now that Keith Andrews is one of the contenders for manager of the year in the Premier League, and then you kind of just glance a little bit lower in the Premier League and you look at someone like Oliver Glasner, and like his name up in negative terms and in banners in the stadium last week, which is just a remarkable place to be well less than a year after winning the FA Cup at Crystal Palace. You think of Claudio Ranieri getting sacked less than a year after winning the Premier League with Leicester City.
But there was grumblings from Brentford fans at a certain point this season as well. Like, it hasn't all been, like, you know, there was a point when it looked like after a bright start, things are slipping here, and there was a few little grumbles at that stage. So it is very precarious, and it's a constant job of work, as Keith might put it himself.
Yeah, it is constantly building. The PFAI is your next story, Cameron.
Yeah, Irish football members should vote on a decision on whether or not to play Israel in the Nations League. That's according to the PFAI, who have called for the FAI to ask its General Assembly for directions. Now, FAI Chief Executive David Carell stated yesterday that the matches will take place this autumn, with one of them being played in Dublin. The solicitor for the Players' Union, Stuart Gilhooley, joined the Clare Byrne show on News Talk today and said it's not too late to overturn the decision.
But what I think should happen is the General Assembly of the FAI, which is the governing body, should be given the choice and should be given the option to decide whether the game should be played or not. There was a motion brought last November at the General Assembly, at which it was passed by 93%. And I would imagine if a similar motion was brought now, you'd get a similar number. It may not be quite as high as 93%, but I think it would definitely be in the majority. So I think you don't ask David Carell or the board of the FAI to make the decision. You make Irish football to make the decision. The football family should decide.
How would that work?
It would work by way of motion to the General Assembly, who would make, in the same way that it worked in November when we decided to write to UEFA to ask them to remove Israel from UEFA competition. Just because somebody said something yesterday doesn't mean it can't change tomorrow. Of course it can. If the General Assembly were given the opportunity to have their voice before that decision was made, which they weren't and should have been, but that doesn't mean you can't go to them now. It doesn't mean you can't ask the members of the FAI what they think.
It would be very interesting to see how that would play out. You'd be very sure that the General Assembly would vote with a huge majority to not play this fixture, given the vote regarding the submission to UEFA last time. The question is whether or not the FAI would go to the General Assembly on this, and given the way in which David Carell spoke yesterday, you'd consider that very unlikely.
But he did say that this was a decision taken by the executive, I think is how he put it. So it didn't seem like he was open to doing that at all. I think they want to give the impression that this is done, that the decision has been made, and things will have to be managed around it, whatever way they do that, you know, donating gate receipts, all that kind of thing. But there is this does identify, and this was kind of something that was sort of suggested from the moment Ireland were drawn against Israel, that this could be, you know, an avenue that will be pursued, and whether it's pursued in face of opposition from the FAI, or, you know, if it's something that is leads to a proper schism between, you know, a General Assembly and the executive of the FAI, who knows? Like, but I think there is, with this issue, I don't know if it's like David Carell, and we'll talk about this later, I think, in the football show, but David Carell made it seem like this is, you know, this is where we're going with this, and this is, we have no option but to go this way with it. And I'm not sure that it's going to be as straightforward as that between now and when the game, you know, as we get closer to the game.
You have details then, Cameron, on RTE and their role in all of this.
Yeah, they say they're legally obliged to show the Republic of Ireland's home game against Israel on the 4th of October. So Social Democrats TD Sinead Gibney wrote to the broadcaster calling on them to take a similar stance to their participation in this year's Eurovision Song Contest. Neil O'Gorman, the RTE's corporate communications manager, responded in a statement today saying that if the match goes ahead, and that is a decision for the FAI as the relevant national sporting body, RTE will broadcast it in line with its contractual and therefore binding legal obligations, and of course our overall commitment to supporting Ireland's national teams. He went on to say that it's different to their decision regarding the Eurovision Song Contest, which is owned and run by the EBU, for one main reason, that the national public service broadcaster who operate the selection process to decide which song or artist will represent the country, therefore it's entirely the decision of the public service broadcaster or media whether to take part or not.
Okay, so let's see how it plays out. Text in here from Owen saying, when UEFA decided not to ban Israel, that is when any game against them was decided. No team is going to jeopardise funding to make a political stance, especially the FAI, who were only recently bailed out by the government. That's true. The one thing I'd say is that the FAI really wanted to distance themselves from the financial implications of this yesterday. Really going hard on the sporting line. The 6 points in League B of the Nations League is the reason why the FAI are going to proceed with this game. And yes, that's not divorced from finance entirely, especially if Ireland were to get relegated, for example, or to harm their chances of qualifying for Euro 2028. But they were certainly pushing the sporting aspect. Couple of texts on the actual football team at the moment. Someone's been in touch to say Evan Ferguson's out injured. He has no luck with injuries. Hopefully things turn around for him. The boys in green are down to the bare bones heading into this March window. We'll come back to Ferguson on the football show. But Kieran and Meath has been in touch to suggest, put Nathan Collins into midfield for next month. Very talented player, but not Ireland's best defender, in my opinion. We saw what happened for Brentford's second goal last Saturday. We did see this in Wembley.
We did.
Then Ireland went down to 10 men, and then it was a disaster.
Yeah, and obviously we're like losing Josh Cullen is a big blow for Ireland in midfield. I can't see him. Can't see that happening. I think Ireland are going to, you know, the way they'll approach the game is as close to the team that you know, played against Portugal and Hungary as possible, and just as solid in that formation, and as close to what the players who've played in those games know what they're doing, and that's the way they'll approach it.
Unless that texter has been watching Brentford recently and seen the two fine messes that Nathan Collins has contributed to goals at the back, and maybe wants to get him as far from our own goal as possible. Maybe that's it, but I don't know.
I think that is the point he is making. Get Nathan Collins out into a position where he can't, that the error that he made against Brighton last week isn't going to cost the team a goal. You are moving on to tonight's Europa League action.
Yeah, so one game currently ongoing, which has Irish interest, Liam Scales on the bench for Celtic, who are 1-0 up away to Stuttgart in their Europa League playoff tie. That means that they are 4-2 down on aggregate. Luke McCowan needing just 36 seconds to get the opening goal in Germany tonight. Nottingham Forest are in better shape heading into their game at home to Fenerbahce at the City Ground from 8 o'clock. They lead that tie 3-0 from the first leg. Crystal Palace, as you've mentioned, are level 1-1 with Bosnian club Zrinjski going into tonight's Conference League playoff second leg at Selhurst Park.
Some great transfer news in the world of the Republic of Ireland national football team, Cameron.
Chelsea Academy player Chris Atherton has declared for the Republic of Ireland. The midfielder made his first team debut for Glenavon at 13 before moving to Stamford Bridge. FIFA has confirmed that Atherton has now completed a switch from Northern Ireland to the Republic.
Undoubtedly, having never seen this footballer play before, Dion, can you give us 200 words on why this is a magnificent moment for the Republic of Ireland?
Well, it's always, you know, this is what we live for. Like, yeah. You know, all the key words, like, you know.
The anti-Conor Bradley. Yeah, much promise.
Transferred, so much academy, promise. Chelsea, all these things that, you know.
Rossini, you're an admirer.
it's perfect. You know, we just, this, like, potential is something, you know, there is no end to the excitement we can draw from potential, and whether in some ways whether it's actually realized or not, it doesn't spoil the moment. And it never spoils the sensation. We never come back to the next potential candidate going, but you remember that last guy who we thought we were all excited about? The excitement still comes each time.
Completely.
Damn it, we loved Ryan Johansson.
Oh, yeah. God.
Let's do a bit on the ropey, Cameron. What have you got for us?
James Lowe's been ruled out of the rest of the Six Nations with a groin issue. Owen, the Leinster winger, forced off early in the first half of their 42-21 win over England at Twickenham last weekend. So he'll miss the final games against Wales and Scotland at the Aviva in the coming weeks. The squad reconvened today for an open training session at Lansdowne Road. The players will now take a break over the weekend before stepping up their preparations for the visit of the Welsh in 8 days' time. Assistant coach Simon Easterby says the group have more of a balanced view of the first three rounds after taking stock during follow week.
You know, we're pretty realistic in that we weren't as bad as people were saying we were against France, even though we let ourselves down in a few areas. But then you're not always as good as people think you are as well. So having that ability to keep reflecting on some of the things that you said you were going to do, have we done that as a team? Are we continually trying to get better in all areas of our game? And I think seeing some of the stuff that come out on Saturday in the performance was brilliant. It was emotional. It was exciting. We felt like there was a massive, you know, the players, I think, influenced the crowd, influenced the Irish element in the crowd. And we're obviously outside in Twickenham, so it made for a far more enjoyable experience as a coaching group rather than being in a box and not really enjoying that atmosphere. So, and it obviously helps when you're winning big moments, which you did, both sides of the ball.
Growing speculation, meanwhile, and concern around the future of Ireland head coach Andy Farrell beyond next year's World Cup. So last week, Midi Olympique reported that Farrell is expected to join Saracens as their director of rugby when his current deal with the IRFU runs out in 2027. They, of course, announced last month that current DOR Mark McCall will leave at the end of this season after 15 years, 6 Prem titles and 3 Champions Cups. The Irish Independent then reported today that it's far from a done deal at this stage, but apparently Saracens are preparing to offer Farrell a €1.2 million annual salary. Farrell, of course, made 28 appearances for Saracens between 2005 and 2009 after switching from league, and then began his coaching career there shortly afterwards. His son Owen is currently playing with the club and is expected to join the coaching staff once he hangs up his boots.
And then Mike Prendergast made reports yesterday that he was going to leave Munster. That's been confirmed today.
That has been confirmed. So Prendergast, in his fourth season with Munster, where he helped the team to its URC title win in 2023, reports have linked the former Racing and Stade Francais coach to the attacking role at Bath. On announcing his departure, the Limerick native says that Munster will hold a special place in his heart.
Okay, very good. You might just give us Shane Lowry and the golf there very briefly before we wrap up.
He signed for a 1-under-par round opening round at the Cognizant Classic in Florida on the PGA Tour. That's 7 shots off the current lead at Palm Beach, held by Austin Smotherman. Waterford's Seamus Power is also on one under with three holes played there.
Cameron Hill, thank you very much for tonight's news round. We're going to be joined by Jamesy O'Connor after the break to talk all things hurling. We've got Steve Bunce coming up after 8 o'clock. Dean will be back in for the football show after 9 o'clock. And before all of that, it's time for the Cash Machine.